Good afternoon, 4:30 and 31 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Davidson.
We haven't increased funding since 2006 to be able to meet some of those demands.
State Representative Rocky Adkins says performance-based funding for higher education in Kentucky is not necessary. The real problem, he contends, has been a lack of support for it.
Federal officials allege a Johnson County woman tried to defraud FEMA in claims she made following flash flooding 2 years ago.
And charter schools in Kentucky get a thumbs up from the Senate Education Committee.
In sports, the boys' Sweet 16 high school basketball tournament kicked off today in Lexington.
But Luke has the stocks.
Windy and cold tonight with flurries possible. Low could drop into the teens with a complete forecast after this news.
WYMT is reporting that a Johnson County woman faces a May 15th trial following her indictment on charges that she tried to defraud the Federal Emergency Management Agency after severe flash flooding in the area during the summer of 2015. Brittany King is accused of falsely claiming that her primary residence was in the Flat Gap community at the time of the natural disaster. The indictment alleges that King tried to scam FEMA and obtain money and property through fraudulent pretenses and representations. She has pleaded innocent to the charges.
A former Prestonsburg mayor is pleading not guilty to the charges that he stole thousands of dollars in city funds. According to WYMT, Jerry Fannin made the plea Tuesday after being indicted in February of misusing more than 7,000 taxpayer dollars to benefit the Eastern Kentucky Drillers football team. Last year, the state auditor accused Fannin of wrongly spending over $100,000. Fannin could face up to 10 years in prison and $250,000 in fines. His court date is scheduled for May 15th.
A Robertson County grand jury has indicted a former Mount Olivet Water Department clerk on charges of theft from the utility. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Sandra Fryman is charged with two counts of failure to make required deposits of $300 or more. She is also charged with abuse of the public trust. The charges allege Fryman did not make required deposits between 2002 and 2014. She's also accused of using water department checking accounts to pay personal credit card debts and give herself unauthorized raises. Ryman's bail was set at $50,000.
The Senate Education Committee today approved a bill that would allow public charter schools in Kentucky. The measure was endorsed by Pastor Jerry Stevenson of the Midwest Church of Christ in West Louisville. He says children in his community have been shortchanged by the status quo.
African-American children who graduate from the Jefferson County public school system, only 7% of black children who graduate from that school system are academically eligible to go into our colleges and universities.
There is an achievement gap in Kentucky's public schools right now, says a spokeswoman for a group opposed to charter schools. However, Lucy Waterbury of Save Our Schools Kentucky says charter schools are not the way to close it. She has a child in the Fayette County School District.
The answer lies in support services and trauma services for these children that see appalling things in their communities. They need services that address mental health concerns. They need absolutely dedicated, qualified teachers.
The bill is also opposed by the Kentucky Education Association. It now heads to the Senate floor.
Kentucky's system of funding higher education is not broken, so it doesn't need fixed. That's the view of State Representative Rocky Adkins. The Rowan County Democrat says the Commonwealth's regional and comprehensive universities can always be improved. However, up till now, Adkins thinks they've done a pretty good job preparing Kentuckians for the future. He says the performance-based funding plan approved Tuesday by the House pits the state's small universities against UK and U of L in a competition for the same pool of money. Adkins argues that's not right because the two have different missions.
I'm not afraid of performance based funding. I'm not afraid of competition. I'm not afraid of competing, but I am when I know I've got a 5'10 center going up against a 7'4 center. And I would caution as you look at this bill that since we did make that definition of our comprehensive broken out doing its own mission, and now all of a sudden we lump everybody together.
Atkins says perhaps the real problem is that the state legislature has not increased funding for higher education since 2006. He voted against the bill, championed by Republican State Senator David Givens.
Local school districts would have their flexibility restricted next year for using capital funds provided under the state's basic school funding formula under legislation approved today by the Senate Appropriations and Revenue Committee. Republican Christian McDaniel chairs the panel. He says when the recession hit, lawmakers allowed districts to use that money for operations, but they'd only be permitted to commit half of it for that purpose in the next fiscal year.
What this says is if school districts have been using these, we will be taking a three-year average of the years that they've utilized this, and 50% of the average is what they will be allowed to use in the next fiscal year. We have got to get back to the discipline of segregating those funds, but to the same end, we recognize some districts will need some time to work that through the system.
McDaniel says the operations and capital improvement money should once again be separated.
The Kentucky House has approved a bill that critics call a war on Louisville. Paul Miles has that story.
The measure is aimed at Metro Council vacancies and appointments. It's supported by Republican Representative Michael Meredith of Brownsville.
And what you heard against this bill today, Mr. Speaker, was shameless rhetoric. Shameless rhetoric provided by those who just want to perpetuate the rumor of a war on Louisville.
An amendment removed the governor's power to appoint a mayor or council members in the case of vacancies. I'm Paul Miles.
Fleming County is asking for $32,000 from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to help some members of the Tilton, Ewing, Mount Carmel, and Muses Mill volunteer fire departments. The money will be used to buy turnout gear for 16 firefighters, which includes coats, hats, boots, and gloves. Fleming Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy is confident the DHS will come through with the funding.
I think when most of these grants, when they're submitted, the safety factor and the amount of runs that they make during the year, I think has a lot to do with it. And these guys, we don't ask for much other than safety equipment from them and in some cases early warning equipment like sirens and things like that. It's very important that we try to keep these guys in good equipment and keep them safe and keep them from getting hurt.
Fleming County didn't include the Flemingsburg and Hillsborough VFDs in their grant request. Those agencies applied for their own grants.
Appalachian Regional Commission co-chairman Earl Gohl says the area represents the next great investment opportunity for businesses in the U.S. However, Gohl says that's dependent on the creation of an economic climate that rewards risk takers and ensures that the region has a trained workforce. He says that's a key focus of the ARC's efforts.
And that's a big piece of this activity. This is a big piece of this particular investment of the Appalachian Regional Commission. It's so critical that we invest in the human capital of Eastern Kentucky and that we provide opportunities for that to grow and for that to return.
Gohl made his comments at the Big Sandy Community and Technical College Monday during a forum on the region's economy.
The Ohio Senate today approved legislation that its sponsor claims will ensure clean drinking water for all Ohioans. Republican Cliff Height says the measure calls for thorough management of privately owned water systems. He says it also mandates improvements by public water systems to address recurrent problems.
We've learned from what happened up in Flint. I mean, that set off an alarm all over the place. And, you know, we've had some problems in Ohio, not a lot, but we want to make sure that we don't have any.
In addition, Height says the bill synthesizes federal and state laws, allowing Ohio to issue permits to those who are discharging into privately owned treatment facilities.
The Lewis County Fiscal Court will hold a public hearing on a recreational trails grant application later this month. MSPR's Kenzie Thompson has that story.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, the Friday, March 24th hearing will allow local residents to make comments and ask questions about the possible economic and environmental impacts of the trails. The fiscal court recently approved a federal grant application for the effort. If approved, the recreational trail would be constructed in the industrial park area of Black Oak. Lewis Judge Executive Todd Reckel says the county will be required to match 50% of the project's total cost, which he's uncertain of at this time, but the grant could provide to up to $100,000 in funding. The meeting will be held at the Old Lewis County Courthouse at 4 p.m. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Carter County will soon have a group of individuals dedicated to promoting the county's growing tourism industry. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Grayson Journal Inquirer, County Attorney Brian Bays was directed to draft the ordinance. It was initially proposed at the January meeting of the fiscal court, and its first reading was in February. Magistrate Nick Barker first proposed forming a tourism commission. The Grayson Tourism and Convention Commission has worked for several decades to promote popular tourism-related events, like Memory Days. Touting the county's multiple tourist attractions will now be the task of the new commission. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Moorhead has a new city planner, with Joe Parson resigning last month. After 11 years on the job, Mayor Jim Tom Trent says, City Council has officially named Beth Day to that post.
She comes with 20 years of construction experience from the Lexington area. She has 2 years working in the Lexington Fayette County Urban Government Building Inspector's Office as a building inspector, and she worked 1 year in Sarasota, Florida in the same capacity. So we're very pleased to have her on board.
Day was chosen from among 13 candidates for the city planner's job. She'd been working for the city for the past couple of weeks as an independent contractor doing building inspections. According to Trent, Moorhead will retain another independent contractor, Philip Hurt, while Day works to get her Level 3 certification, which will allow her to oversee large-scale building projects.
This is Disabilities Awareness Month, and Moorhead Agency is working to create greater awareness about the issue of intellectual disabilities. Leanne Creech is the Executive Director for D&S Community Services.
We provide residential supports, whether that's individuals living in their own home, living in one of our homes, or living in a family home provider to help them live in the community instead of what they would typically be in an institution. We also provide day services, and that could be supported employment or coming to our day service building or activities in the community with community access.
According to Creech, estimates say about 38% of all Americans deal with some form of intellectual disability. Despite those problems, she says those individuals are often very productive members of society. Creech notes that the nearly 50 clients D&S assists in the Moorhead area performed about 500 hours of service to the community last year.
And finally, this afternoon, a Cincinnati area restaurateur says he'll buy steak dinners for Northern Kentucky University's 15,000 students if the men's basketball team wins its first ever NCAA tournament game by beating number 6 ranked Kentucky. Jeff Ruby says the promise could cost him and his steakhouse big if the underdog Norse topple the Wildcats, who are seeded second in the South Regional on Friday in Indianapolis. But he says it's important to support hometown organizations, and he sees Northern Kentucky as an asset to the area. The school is a first-timer in the NCAA tournament. It won the Horizon League championship and the league's automatic bid to its first year of eligibility for the tournament. The one-time Division II power made the jump to Division I 5 years ago.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy with lows near 20 degrees. Thursday, sunny skies with highs around 43. Thursday night, mainly clear, then becoming partly cloudy with lows dropping to about 28. Friday, a mix of rain and freezing rain, chance of precipitation at 80% with thunderstorms possible and highs around 47. Friday night, showers likely with a chance of rain at 90% with possible thunderstorms overnight, lows around 44. And finally on Saturday, partly sunny skies with highs around 47 degrees. Temperatures for your surrounding region, it's currently 33 in Ashland, 31 in both Flemingsburg and in Inez, Lexington is sitting at 33 degrees. It is currently 32 in Winchester, and it is currently 31 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and there isn't anyone we would rather spend a Wednesday afternoon with than you. On our feature segment this afternoon, according to the Congressional Budget Office, Kentucky and other states like it have the most to lose if the Affordable Care Act is repealed. Stephanie Carson has the story.
The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates that 24 million people would lose coverage by 2026 under the American Health Care Act, and almost 500,000 Kentuckians are included in that number, according to the Urban Institute. The American Health Care Act would effectively eliminate the Medicaid expansion and change existing tax credits to be based on age instead of income. That could reduce assistance in paying for coverage by as much as $6,000 a year. Dustin Pugel with the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy says Kentucky has drastically reduced the number of uninsured in the last 7 years, and under the House plan, the change will be felt in a big way.
The states that gain the most have the most to lose, and by several measures, Kentucky has gained the most. We've seen one of the largest decline in our rate of uninsured. Our folks are able to get to the doctor like never before. Many of them are reporting actually having better health already.
The CBO report also highlights the fact that insurers will be able to charge older Americans 5 times more than their younger counterparts. With potentially fewer people insured, Pugel and others predict insurance pools will be made up of sicker people, driving up the demands on insurers and therefore the cost of insurance. Supporters of the AHCA say they are trying to fix a flawed system. As it stands, the AHCA also would cap federal payments to a certain dollar amount per Medicaid enrollee, starting in 2019. Pugel says Kentucky then would have to make up the difference or drastically reduce benefits.
It shifts billions in responsibility to the state, making the state responsible for paying more and more and having a shrinking pot to be able to do that.
Reducing the affordability and availability of coverage also would mean thousands of Kentuckians suffering from illnesses that require expensive prescription drugs will go untreated, and the amount of uncompensated care for hospitals and doctors will increase. Pugel says capping what the state can spend per person will make it difficult for the state to respond to outbreaks such as Zika or addressing Kentucky's opioid addiction epidemic. I'm Stephanie Carson for the Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you're in tune with Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news from All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon right here on MSPR. And Nathan has sports. He's up right now.
Sweet 16 tips off today. Good afternoon. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. To start things off, the Kentucky Boys Sweet 16 basketball tournament got underway earlier today at Rupp Arena in Lexington. Bowling Green defeated Graves County 68-51, and Perry Central beat Pikeville 61-46. Tonight, it's Scott against Harlan County and Pulaski County facing Scott County. Or should I say it's Scott County against Harlan County and Pulaski County is facing Scott County. 16th region champ Elliott County faces Collins tomorrow evening at 6:30. Coach Greg Atkins says the versatility of the Lions offense will make them tough to beat.
It certainly starts with Corbin Spencer and Chase Porter. But then you look to sophomores Tanner Dickerson, Gage Evans, and senior Austin Porter. Man, those guys have really give us lift, give us spark. When we got all 5 guys clicking like we did here in the postseason, we're pretty tough to guard. You got to guard us one-on-one. You got to respect everybody. You can't really play off anybody.
Elliott enters the Sweet 16 with a 26-3 record. Coach Greg Todd admits the Morehead State women will be underdogs in their first ever game in the WNIT. The Eagles visit Conference USA Power Middle Tennessee at 8:30 tomorrow evening.
Coach Ensel's been there several years, and they have a lot of good players of a bigger school, and they're a balanced team and a physical group, and we'll on their home floor definitely have a big challenge.
21-10 Middle is led by 6-foot sophomore Alex Johnson's 20 points a game. Guard Ty Petty averages 18 points. The Blue Raiders have shot 37% from outside the 3-point arc. The MSU women are 21-9 this year. One of Kentucky's seniors believes the Wildcats are poised to make a deep run in this year's NCAA tournament. With UK riding an 11-game winning streak and coming off an SEC tournament championship, Dominique Hawkins believes his team is clicking on all cylinders.
Definitely defensive-wise, I want to say that. I feel like defensive-wise, we've been stopping the best scorers and making them take tough shots. And offensively, we've been giving the guy with the hot hand.
Fifth-ranked Kentucky is prepping for Friday night's 9:40 encounter with Northern Kentucky in Indianapolis as part of the Tourney South Regional. And the 10th-ranked Louisville basketball team is prepping for their round one of the big dance against Ohio Valley Conference champion Jacksonville State this week. Despite going 24-8 and having played in one of the nation's toughest schedules, head coach Rick Pitino believes facing the Gamecocks will still be a big challenge for his Cards.
Our team knows we're playing a very dangerous opponent right now. And just the last four games are far different than before that. They've got adjusted to what they're doing, and they shoot it really well, and they're very powerful at the 4 and 5 spot.
Making their first appearance in the NCAA tourney, Jacksonville State comes into Friday's contest with a record of 20-14. Game time in Indianapolis is set for 2:45. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are getting ready for a weekend OVC series against Belmont in Nashville. Coach Mike McGuire is pleased with his Eagles right now. They swept their conference opening series last weekend at home against Southeast Missouri and are 11-5 overall.
You know, I feel pretty good about the start we've gotten off to and the way we've been playing. I think that you know, the important thing is it's a good start, but we got to keep playing up to our capabilities all year long.
The Eagles will face a Belmont ball club that's 2-1 the OVC and 7-8 overall. After batting a career best 260 last season, Cincinnati Reds leadoff man Billy Hamilton has been working this spring to improve as a hitter. While he's just 4-27 thus far in exhibition action, the speedy Hamilton believes he's had several good at-bats.
As a hitter, you're ready to get the days where you play every day, and then you can get a consistent swing. You can get consistent as in seeing the pitches and everything. But right now, I feel good, man. I'm getting my work in the cage, and I feel like every day is I'm getting better, and I'm learning, and I just feel like it's going to be fun.
The Reds are playing the Padres in split squad preseason action today down in Arizona, and at the bottom of the second inning, the Padres are leading Cincy 2-1. With an addition to adding Devontae Edwards as the team's defensive backs and co-special teams coordinator, the Morehead State football team announced its spring practice schedule yesterday. The Eagles are scheduled for 14 on-field sessions in March and April before its annual spring game on April 22nd at 1 p.m. MSU is expected to return more than 60 players from the 2016 team this spring. And finally, for today in sports, looking at some offseason notes from the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings and veteran cornerback Terrence Newman have agreed to terms on a new contract, bringing him back for a 15th season in the league. And linebacker Dante Hightower has decided to return to New England, agreeing to a 4-year, $43.5 million deal. And a judge has dismissed all charges against defensive back Darrell Revis, stemming from an altercation in Pittsburgh. That will conclude your sports report. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle softball will play two games on Saturday, hosting Akron at 11 a.m. and Oakland at 1 p.m. Softball will close their series with Oakland on Sunday with two games at noon and 2 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
4:54, Bud Luke has been monitoring Wall Street action from his Ashland office for us this afternoon. Here's Bud.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher, helped by a bounce in oil prices. This after the Federal Reserve took a less aggressive stance than had been expected for their March meeting, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 112.73 at 20,950.1. The S&P 500 was up 19.81 at 2385.26, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 43.23 at 5900.05. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 26-3 in favor of winning stocks over losers. The Fed did raise rates by a quarter of a percent, as had been anticipated. And in the bond market, the two-year yield actually fell to 1.32%, its lowest in about a week. And earlier in the session, the two-year did hit a high of 1.4%, which was actually the highest level since June 11th of 2009. The 10-year yield traded around 2.58% and was little changed from yesterday's close. Energy traded more than 1% higher to lead S&P advancers as oil reversed a seven-day losing streak. U.S. crude oil futures settled up 2.39% at $48.86 a barrel after weekly crude inventory data showed a drawdown in stockpiles. In economic news, the consumer price index rose 0.1% in February, and this equated to a 2.7% increase over the last 12 months, which is the biggest year-on-year gain since March 2012. Retail sales posted a 0.1% rise last month, the weakest print since August, excluding automobiles, gasoline, building materials, and food services. So-called core retail sales rose 0.1%, this after an upwardly revised 0.8% jump in January. And both CPI and retail sales mostly matched expectations. And the Empire State Manufacturing Index edged lower to 16.4. The new orders index climbed 8 points to 21.3, the highest level since 2009, according to the New York Fed. And also in a separate report, home builder sentiment hit 71 in March, the highest level in 12 years. Overseas, the Stoxx Europe 600 index rose about 0.4%, and the Shanghai Composite closed up just barely positive, while the Nikkei 225 actually fell 0.16%. And gold futures for April delivery fell $2.20, finishing at $1,240 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and United Health. The worst performers were American Express and Disney. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Southwestern Energy and Newmont Mining, and the worst performers were Macy's and Capital One. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.85 at $123.73, CSX up 12 cents at $47.95, AEP up 89 cents at $66.68, Marathon Petroleum up $1.55 at $51.56, AK Steel up 43 cents at $8.38, and Anthem was up $4.03 to finish at $169.21. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, lows near 20 degrees. Thursday, sunny skies with highs around 43. Thursday night, mainly clear early in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy later on, lows around 28. Friday, 90% chance of precipitation, a mix of freezing rain and just ordinary rain, as well as thunderstorms throughout the day, highs around 47. Friday night, chance of rain stays at 90% with showers likely and thunderstorms throughout the evening with lows around 44. And Saturday, sunshine partly dimmed by some clouds with highs around 47 degrees. Temperatures for the region, it's currently 33 in Ashland, 31 in Flemingsburg and Inez, 33 in Lexington, 32 in Winchester, and it's currently 31 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that will do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Adkins, Kenzie Thompson, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From the Kentucky News Connection, Stephanie Carson. And from the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.com. MSPRnews.org. For Ashley Davidson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.